problem Hollywood is. They make shit. Unbelievable, unremarkable shit. Now, I'm not some grungy wannabe filmmaker that's searching for existentialism through a haze of bong smoke or something. No, it's easy to pick apart bad acting, short-sighted directing, and a purely moronic stringing together of words that many of the studios term as prose. No, I'm talking about the lack of realism. Realism. Not a pervasive element in today's modern American cinematic vision. Take Dog Day Afternoon, for example. Arguably, Pacino's best work. Short of Scarface and Godfather Part One, of course. Masterpiece of directing, easily Lumet's best. The cinematography, the acting, the screenplay, all top-notch. But they didn't push the envelope. Now, what if in Dog Day, Sonny really wanted to get away? What if, now this is the tricky part, what if he started killing hostages right away? No mercy, no quarter. Meet our demands are the pretty blonde and the bell bottoms gets it in the back of the head. Bam, splat. What, still no bus? Come on. How many innocent victims splattered across the window would it take to have the city reverse its policy on hostage situations? And this is 1976. There's no CNN. There's no CNBC. There's no internet. Now, fast forward to today. Present time. Same situation. How quickly would the modern media make a frenzy over this? And in a matter of hours, it would be the biggest story from Boston to Budapest. 10 hostages die. 20. 30. Relentless. Bam, bim. One after another. All caught in high def, computer enhanced, color corrected. You practically taste the brain matter. All for what? A bus? A plane? A couple of $1 million that's federally insured? Conventional cinema, but what if
the law of country?
American media is a business, and it has a mission not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with the capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day. This is Sean Kennedy broadcasting to you from the internet for Friday, September 23rd, 2005. And this would be Newsreel, the Walk Global sit-rep for core political tyranny, technology, and transfer your headspace and timing. Rant Media is taking a stand for free speech today. And just by listening to this broadcast and handing it out to people you don't know, or people you do know, just by spreading the virus, you are also taking a stand as well. You can read all the news stories along with me by going to my live journal. You can get to my live journal by going to sean_kennedy.livejournal.com. This would be a free radio broadcast that can be heard on Rant Radio, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, Pure Rock Radio, OspreyRadio.info, Extreme Radio Tampa, and SRN1. And make sure that if you have another radio station that you know of, that you should get in touch with them and see if they want to carry the Newsreel show. Because after all we got to do is just get all the, all the different podcasters and shoutcasters and every kind of caster out there who's running different radio stations, there's no reason why they wouldn't carry the show. We don't pander to any one particular product. We're not selling anything. All we're doing is just trying to get information out to people. So by all means, please contact anyone who you see broadcasting anything online and tell them, hey, you need to carry Newsreel, because after all, communication is what we're all about. Now, let's get on to some feedback. Dear Sean, On the show yesterday, which was probably more than just yesterday, you read a letter from a fellow who was wondering about where you stand on the subject of partisan politics. Allow me this time to be self-important and present you with my opinion. I believe that to have both halves of the political whole are required, so in meaning that you have to be right and left wing. Just as there are two separate halves of the brain, when you rely too much on one half or the other, become unbalanced and are unable to function properly. What does that remind me of? I don't know. Even more to the point, if you remove half of the person's brain, you either wind up with an crazy extremist motherfucker or a lobotomized fuck, depending on how you slice it. Wah, 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 wah. In an age-old struggle of yin and yang, good and evil, right and wrong, it seems apparent that one half cannot exist without the other. Very Yoda. When everything goes dark, well, you've read the cyberpunk novels. When everything goes dark, well, when everything goes soft, you get shit like the population from the book Time Machine Soft. Stupid people who have no thirst for knowledge stupid people who have no thirst for knowledge or self-improvement. Totally incapable of self-defense. Anyway, enough of my jaw-jacking. Yours in love and hate. Peace and war. Ronan Alien Kitten. Now, you've got to bear in mind here that, you know, if you go too far in either direction, that's exactly what you get. And the Time Machine is a perfect film to illustrate that. If anyone hasn't checked out one of the original Time Machines where you got the Morlocks and the Eloy, and the whole gist of the film is real far in the future, there are the Morlocks, which are essentially these meat-eating cannibalistic dudes who live underground, and the Eloy, who are, these farmed sort of cattle people, which is about the best way to put it, actually. They're farmed and they're totally cattle. So they don't really do anything, and the Morlocks feed and look after them, and then they turn on these sirens. The Eloy all walk into the chambers, and the Morlocks kill them and eat them, and that's how society, you know, kind of goes forwards. Now, when you look at it from beyond, from sort of a parable sort of viewpoint, you can see how that's a very, very good story, because we can see it more and more that is actually what is happening. We're having the ruling class and the slave class. Everything is going full circle. Dear Sean, question, what do you do when you make a huge political mistake and your entire nation denounces your lack of action to a natural disaster? Yes, a vast disaster that was forewarned with numerous alerts and years of professional suggestions to correct the weak spots. Answer, the same thing you do when you want to downplay four bombs blowing up in London. Now, I got this letter a couple of days ago, so bear in mind, this isn't he called this, Falware sent me this, and he called this really early on. You create a duplicate story a couple of weeks later and flood the global news day in and day out with mentally saturating stories about how equally horrendous the second threat is and how overwhelmingly spectacular you responded to the threat. In London, the follow-up non-event reported as a failed bombing overshadowed the original legitimate story. Most of the people quickly forgot what had happened and were left with thoughts of the government pointed out how well they reacted and to a more recent event. Prediction. This is his prediction. Rita will be upplayed that this is a huge hurricane, but will actually do very little damage. Every little bit of damage or loss of life will be amplified to sound more vast than it really is. Failures of Hurricane Katrina will be swept aside. The news will change focus on Rita and the success of action. In each case, the bottom line result is that a screwed up leadership saves face and somehow ends up standing truth on its head so lemmings can think their leaders are great. Rita is a saving grace opportunity too good to pass up. But if I'm wrong, then the world is in serious trouble naturally. If I'm right, the government is a fraud. Either way, the U.S. government is screwing up big time. I'm sick to my stomach. Please carry on with your thoughts on the matter. Sean, I can't voice any more thoughts on the matter. Weeks of time will tell if I'm right or not. I bet you my $80 Tanto blade onto your $5 canteen cup that I'm right. Yeah, well, you know. And of course, always the best wishes, your brother a fellow brother in mind. Sorry, you know, I just can't seem to get anything out today. From your fellow brother in mind, Falware. So, Falware's a really good shit, too, down there. He's been monitoring a lot of stuff. I don't cover a lot of the stories he sends me, but I'm in constant communication with the guy. And I gotta tell you, you know, more and more, when we started this whole rant media thing, we thought, oh yeah, you know, it'll be pirate of freedom's last stand, but it's really turning out to be just that, and it's a little frightening. And I wonder, you know, how long it's going to be. How long we'll be able to steady the course? How long we'll be able to carry on this course of action before somebody or something shuts us down? Interesting question. Sort yourself out. The wonderful section of the show where I tell you how to handle problems in your own life. Dear Sean, My life is quickly going to shit. Well, aren't we all? Up until now, I have survived by sheer luck and by following orders. Well, that's always good, too. I'm in the last year of on high school, and I have no idea what the fuck I'm doing anymore. I have no idea what I've been doing for a long time now. Well, first thing you're going to do is you're going to graduate high school. I don't know what my problem is, but I just can't seem to get my life in order. Again, wait out. I have no plan for the future and don't know what I want to do or what I should do. I have talked to guidance counselors, teachers, parents, my friends, and just about anyone else who I think might be able to help me. I always get the same answer. Do what you want to do. Well, I don't know what I want to do, and that's the problem. I've always been led to believe that if I didn't make the right choices with my life, I would crash and burn. And this is something that the public school system really ingrains in you, by the way. I'll get back to that. Now I have more choices than I can possibly ever consider, and I have no idea what the hell to do. How do I prevent from becoming a wage slave? How do I prevent becoming a cubicle monkey with no real life? Where is the middle ground? I don't want you to tell me what to do, but I need to know how to decide for myself, and I feel that no matter where I look, I'm setting myself up for failure, and it's really pissing me off. Any advice you can give would be great. Thanks, man. Name withheld for obvious fucking reasons. Now, okay, it's like this. Now, first of all, you got to understand, this is not your fault. We're really quick to blame ourselves. Our entire society is structured so that we all blame ourselves. Now, granted, you are ultimately responsible for your own actions. Meaning, I currently am a 31-year-old security guard who yells at his computer for an hour every day. That's, you know, when you can that can either be good or bad, you know, depending on how you want to look at it. I am married. You know, I've had a pretty successful marriage, you know, 7 years now, coming up on pretty quick, happy, got a little house, got a little dog, you know, I mean, everything's moving along pretty good in my life, you know, there's a lot of people who look at my life and go, wow, you know, Sean really made it big, but of course, I don't look that way, I don't think of it that way, I'm always looking at the things I haven't done, I look at the fact that I don't own a yacht or a Ferrari and stuff like that, these are things that mess with your head, and this is not, you know, the number one thing you've got to do to make any kind of a sale is you have to generate want, so our media is constructed, even our shows, you know, like Friends and all this kind of stuff, where you got, like, waitresses, okay, driving around in Audis, wearing, you know, custom designer outfits, you know, and all this kind of makes you think that that's the way the world is, that's the way the world should be, but it's not the way the world is. Now, for you to come to me and say, dude, I don't know what I should do, I got a lot of stuff going on, okay, well, the number one focus you got to have right now is, first of all, is you got to get yourself a piece of graph paper right off the top. Get yourself a graph pad, begin writing all this shit down so you can start to measure pros and cons of decisions in your life. Now, don't worry, I'm not going to give you any bullshit actions here. But you got to think to yourself, okay, never mind what you want to do. You want to ask yourself, what kind of lifestyle do you want to have? You know what I mean? Do you want to go live in the bush somewhere? Would you like to get up every morning, walk outside, you know, chop some wood, come back inside, light a fire, and, you know, skin some game that you shot the night before? Or I don't know. You probably want to skin your game the night you shoot it or whatever. I don't know what the deal is with that. But you see what I'm saying? Or do you want to live in some downtown condo somewhere, you know, and have a sports car and drive to and from and never actually see the countryside? Or do you want to travel? Do you want to kill people? What do you want to do? You know what I mean? If you want to travel and kill people, there's the army. If you want to, you know, take out the garbage every day and have to deal with human filth who spit on you every day, then be a cop. You know, stuff like this. There's all kinds of different choices, but you want to not look at what you want to do. You want to look at what kind of lifestyle you want to have. Now, from that lifestyle, that every lifestyle has a price tag attached to it, okay? So then what you do is you look at, okay, how much money do I need to make to live the lifestyle that I wish to live? Easy enough. And then once you determine how much, then you have to look at options for what you want to do with as an employment opportunity so that you can live that lifestyle. Do you see how that works? Really simple stuff here. As a matter of fact, even just by telling you about it, hell, I think that's what I'm going to do too. I mean, because, you know, I don't know about you. I mean, there's a lot of people who... I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep going on your problem here before I go on a standard tirade because it sounds to me like you've got, you know, really serious concerns. So I would consider the economics. Whenever you can't decide anything else, you want to consider the economics. Follow the money. All right, now, when you're looking at this, you don't know what you want to do. The first thing you got to do is graduate high school because otherwise, if you don't graduate high school, everybody looks at people who haven't graduated high school as failures right out of the gate. They go, oh, I didn't graduate high school. You're a failure. That's totally what they think. That's not very nice. It's not happy, but that's the first thing that comes to mind. So you have to graduate high school. After you graduate high school, if the option is there for you to go to university, do that. Okay? It's only a couple of years. Go there. Get yourself a bachelor's degree. All right? That would be my counsel to you. Now, if you can't do that, if university is just too much bullshit for you, if you can't handle the university concept, Well, then you're going to have to start looking at people who've already graduated and are employed in the field that you're considering. For example, let's say you decide that you want to be a cop. Well, go talk to cops. Actually, go out there, do some research, walk into the police station, say, hey, you know what? I'm thinking about getting into law enforcement. I'd like to talk to somebody who's been in law enforcement for a long time. Have a list of questions. Show them your list of questions that you want to ask them. Act like you're even remotely professional, and the cops will help you out with that. Same with the military. Same with anything else that you might want to look at. Now, if you got no options and you're basically thick, there's lots of organizations that are just looking for a warm body. But don't despair, for God's sakes, because there's lots of opportunities open to you. You just have to learn how to silence all the external voices and, you know, make a calculated tactical decision. And then move on that decision. That's it. Shoot a bearing and march on it. That's how it works. Now, let's get into the news. Holy dog shit, the Canadian Special Forces did something. For the first time ever, I've done more research on these guys and flying around the room, and I'm here to tell you, these guys haven't done shit. But apparently, we've actually done something. Hoorah for Canada. The Chief of Staff for the Canadian Forces Operations confirmed that Canadian soldiers have engaged Taliban and Al-Qaeda fighters in Afghanistan, an unprecedented look at the secretive commando unit. Well, of course, it's the first look at the secretive commando unit. This is JTF-2. JTF-2 is named by some shit-pump politician who went down to Florida, saw an anti-drug group called JTF-2, and named the Canadian Special Forces after a Florida police force. If you go, that's a true story, okay? And I fucking hate the name JTF-2. It's absolute crap. But anyway, at the briefing in Ottawa on Tuesday, Brigadier General Mike Ward told reporters that members of Joint Task Force 2, the worst name in the world, have the authority to exercise deadly force on their missions throughout the war-torn country. Dun, 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 dun. They're allowed to shoot people. As such, Ward said enemy fighters have been both captured and killed in the course of Canadian forces doing their job. Yes, we've detained people, he explained without specifying exact numbers. Our aim in all of these operations is to capture where possible in order to use the intelligence value that any of these detainees may have for us. Canadian troops hold detainees only long enough to process them and obtain any valuable intelligence before turning them over to appropriate authorities off to Guantanamo Bay with you, said Ward, who commanded Canadian troops as a colonel in Kosovo 6 months ago. A little bit difference in between Kosovo and Afghanistan. He explained that the detainees are handed over to allies once transfer conditions are accepted and the International Committee of the Red Cross is informed. Yeah, we're sending these guys to Guantanamo Bay. The United States is the detainee authority in the coalition, he said, adding that Washington has agreed to Canada's conditions, including requirements for humane treatment and third-party monitoring. Ward added that in some circumstances, capture proved impossible. Well, you know, these are people willing to strap bombs on their chest. So I guess the JTF-2 is out there running around doing their job. Now, it should be noted that the Special Forces, I mean, Canada doesn't get a lot of fucking play. You know what I mean? And it's not really the soldiers' fault. And even the soldiers won't say, they'll be like, Canada, what kind of an army's Canada got? It's got nothing. Well, yeah, obviously, because we ain't got no budget. But if you check your history, there's a great movie called The Devil's Brigade where it talks about the origin of the Special Forces. And the first Special Forces were half Canadian and half American. The Americans sent out all these convicts and the Canadians sent down these really high-speed soldiers. And through these convicts and high-speed soldiers, we created the Special Forces. And that's that. And I say we, not meaning Canada, but I mean Canada and the United States. We need to start thinking as a continent here. We need to start getting everybody on the same side. We need to go, right, okay, we're all North American. That's how we are. Let's look at North American culture. Let's look at North American values. Let's ditch all these ancient mud hut beliefs and start thinking logically and rationally. So again, see how I tie this all together? We take a Special Forces mentality and work towards going to where? Space. Get the fuck off world. That's the whole plan here. Now, if we can choose that as a focus, I would love to cover more stories with the JTF if Canada decides to use its soldiers in the proper fashion, but I'm not going to hold my breath on that. It should also be noted that there was a series of Canadian soldiers who supported some Americans. They sniped, did some cover fire and stuff for them. But the problem is that nobody in Canada would let, like, the American government wanted to give the Canadian soldiers the Silver Star. But the Canadian government blocked it. They said, no, you can't give Canadians medals. Fuck you. And I was like, holy shit! These guys have got absolutely no recognition from their country. They're generally spit on, and now you're denying medals going across the border. That's just sick. It's beyond sick to me, and, you know, that's the problem with the Canadian government. The Canadian government, really, is nothing more than middle management lackeys for the real forces in the world, be it Britain, be it America, but that's what they are. Okay, let's cut the shit and call it as we see it, because no matter who's running the show in Ottawa, we're getting sold down the river in a big-time way. Let's get into some InfoWar news. The Authors Guild on Tuesday filed a lawsuit against search engine Google, alleging that its scanning and digitizing of library books, constitutes a massive copyright infringement. Yeah, we knew this was going to come down the pipe. Eventually, there's going to come a point where they're not able to, you know, actually share information anymore. As part of its Google Print Library project, the company is working to scan all or parts of the book collections at the University of Michigan, Harvard University, Stanford University, and the New York Public Library and Oxford University. This is a good thing. It intends to make those texts searchable on Google and to sell advertisements on its web pages. Okay, so they're going to put advertising in the ability to search through books. Well, I mean, somebody's got to pay for this somehow, I suppose. This is a plain and brazen violation of copyright law. Now, that's probably true. Nick Taylor, president of the New York-based Authors Guild, says in a statement about the lawsuit, which is seeking class action status, "It's not up to Google or any of the authors, the rightful owners of... It is not up to Google or anyone other than the authors, the rightful owner of these copyrights, to decide whether and how their works will be copied." Well, you know, me personally, I don't think I'd have a problem with this, but as an author of the work, I would like the option to say that. In response, Google defended the program in a company blog posting. Quote, "We regret that this group chose to sue us over a program that will make millions of books more discoverable to the world, especially since any copyright holder can exclude their books from the program," wrote Susan Wojcicki, vice president of product management. "Google respects copyright. The use we make of all the books we scan through the library project is fully consistent with both the fair use doctrine under U.S. copyright law and the principle underlying copyright law itself, which will allow everything from parodies to excerpts in book reviews." This Authors Guild lawsuit doesn't mark the first objection to the Google program. Other groups, including the Association of American University Presses, have also criticized it. Well, you know, you got to look at this and say, well, you're breaking the law. Yes, but they're spreading information. Information. And after all, isn't that what this is all about? It's all about info. We got to have the info and the intel to make sure it gets circulated to everyone. Now, in Alex Jones news, you know, whenever I run across a story like this, I just imagine, you know, I can hear Alex Jones screaming in Texas right now. White Ops sent me this. In domestic military ops news, today, somewhere in the D.C., Washington, D.C., metropolitan area, the military is conducting a top secret and compartmented exercise of the military's extra-legal response to weapons of mass destruction, end quote, writes Willem Arkin in his extreme awesome new blog, Early Warning. Okay, so I guess there's a new blog called Early Warning. It allows for the emergency military operations in the United States without civilian supervision or control. So what this means is that, oh, we sent the Delta Force in, they killed a whole bunch of people and they left, and there's nothing that anybody can do about it. A spokesman at the Joint Force Headquarters National Capital Region confirmed the existence of Granite Shadow. Okay, that's the name of the operation. The existence of Granite Shadow to me yesterday. But all we would say is that Granite Shadow is the unclassified name for a classified plan. Okay, that classified plan, this is interesting, Granite Shadow. That classified plan, I believe, after extensive research from the article, and after making a couple of assumptions, is Con Plan 0400, formally titled Counter Proliferation of Weapons of Mass Destruction. It's a long-standing contingency plan of the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff that lays out a national policy and priorities dealing with weapons of mass destruction threats in peacetime and crisis. From far away, offensive strikes and special operations against foreign weapons of mass destruction infrastructure and capabilities to missile defenses and consequence management at home for offensive effort if offensive efforts fail. Consequence management. Interesting. U.S. Northern Command The military's new Homeland Security Command, I see that. U.S. Northern Command is the new Homeland Security Command, is preparing its draft of Conplan 0400 for military operations in the United States, and the resulting Granite Shadow Plan includes deployment of special mission units, the so-called Delta Force, SEAL Teams, Rangers, and other special units of Joint Special Operations Command in Washington, D.C., and other domestic hotspots. So they're taking elite soldiers, and they're dropping them out to go, you know, deal with problems domestically. Further, Granite Shadow possesses domestic military operations, including intelligence collection and surveillance, unique rules of engagement regarding use of lethal force, there's a big one, and the use of experimental non-lethal weapons. The federal and military control of incident locations are highly controversial and might border on the illegal. So what we're talking about here, of course, is dropping in all sorts of special forces soldiers onto civilian soil so that they can, you know, shoot people and execute search warrants and, you know, arrest people and look for terrorism and all the rest of it. This, to me, is very Ghost in the Shell when you think about it. When you start, you know, slowly taking the police and making the police military and the military police, well, you know, I guess that's all part of creating a fascist nation, eh? Well, you know, that's what's happening, so you can either, you know, try to fight against the wind or set your sails to go along with it. If you set your sails to go along with it, chances are you could wind up in the Hague. But, you know, I don't know, man. You look at this stuff that's going on in the world right now and all this perceived stuff that's going on in the world right now. I would bank that they've only got a few years left before Bush is getting ousted. Of course, they're going to try to put Jeb in there. And I don't know. You know, you look at all the way that everyone's going and the massive whipping frenzy of war. I mean, wouldn't it serve George Bush and his cronies right if we were still at war when the next elections run around? I bet it would. Now, in robotic takeover news, speaking of Ghost in the Shell, the Ministries of Defense and Information and Communication in Japan approved a joint project worth $32.4 million to develop a robot combat system by the year 2011. Tentative designs released at a meeting of science ministers show three different types of robots that look like a sphinx without wings. These are like combat droids, equipped with either six or eight wheels or legs. They would be capable of walking or running through rough terrain. Armed with weapons and sensors, the robot could be put to combat missions or dangerous tasks, such as detecting mines, the ministry said. The ministry will also say they will invest some $30 million to develop surveillance sensor networks by 2010. So, 32 into robots, and then $30 million into surveillance sensor networks. So this is like, we don't have to bug anything because everything is already bugged. Isn't that interesting? That's a really, you know, and that's why I'm saying, you know, this is the way the wind is blowing. You need to make sure that you set your sails properly. Now, in the recorded world, Wyandi sent me this in. The Australian Broadcasting Corporation is reporting that a proposal has been adopted by the European Commission, so this is all of Europe and European Commission, to log, that means record, all internet and all telephone communications, period. If you say it into a microphone, it's recorded. From here, the proposal must be passed to the European Union member states as well as the European Parliament. Wow, what a totally ballsy thing to put on the table. The push for a European Union-wide data storage came after the Madrid bomb attack last year and intensified after the London bomb attacks in July when Britain took over the rotating EU presidency. Now, that's interesting because I didn't know that Britain was in charge of the EU when those bombs went off. And isn't that, I don't really understand how these bombs going off has any effect whatsoever on telephone conversations because no one's going to be talking about this shit over the phone. So, you know, the commission proposes storing data related to mobile and fixed telephone traffic for a year to allow the police to trace time, place, and numbers used. Well, of course, they're saying for just a year, but of course, data storage is only limited by, you know, hardware. How small can you get it? Blah, 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 blah. So obviously, I would state that it's not going to be that big of a problem. Internet data, such as email, will be kept for 6 months, so they say. Personally, I call bullshit on that. I think they'd be holding it for a hell of a lot longer than that. Now, when you take that story out of Australia and you cross it with my next story here, which is the Federal Bureau of Investigation equals the Global Bureau of Investigation news, and this was sent to me by Desert Runner, another good Aussie. The FBI is setting up shop in Sydney. That's Australia, which is not the United States. We also have an FBI, station here in Canada. They're all over the world, actually, a lot of these FBI guys. They just kind of run it because now they're the Global Bureau of Investigation. But I guess now they're setting up shop in Sydney, establishing its first permanent base outside of Canberra. And it's second in the immediate region. The Premier, Morris Iama, will today announce the FBI's appointment to a legal attaché as part of a counterterrorism cooperation measure that the police minister, Carl Scully, secured from a trip to the U.S. last month. Mr. Iama said that the attaché, operating from within the U.S. consulate, would provide the exchange of information between Australians and U.S. law enforcement bodies and provide legal support to NSW agencies. Then the position, which will be permanent, has been advertised within the FBI, and the successful candidate is to be selected this year in time to take his or her position early in the new year. Global terrorism does not respect international boundaries, and we want our officers to learn from the best, Mr. Iama said. Well, I wouldn't say it's the FBI. I'd probably say it's someone from either Britain and Israel, if you wanted to get to who's got the best intel. But anyway, the level of cooperation and access we have secured in the world's preeminent law enforcement bodies is a huge advantage for the people of the NSW. Now, this is the same FBI that seems to think that, pornography is a major concern, a going concern in the United States. Not child porn, but, porn with adults and stuff. That's really bad. That's where we should be spending all of our effort and time and money and all that good stuff on. That's really where the big problems are, During his U.S. visit, Mr. Scully met senior officers of the FBI, Secret Service, and New York and the Los Angeles Police Departments. He has since secured a 12-month secondment for an NSW police officer to the counterterrorism unit of the NYPD and the LAPD. Now, those guys know their shit. I'll give them that. But, this is just more of the tendrils of the United States reaching out and taking over the world. Now, in bad air news, here's a bit of a toxic alert for all you out there. Air pollution, here's a shocker, air pollution may be a bigger health threat than previously believed. A 20-year study, that's a big study, of residents of Los Angeles, which is pretty, air quality there. This is what this 20-year study has indicated. Now, a 20-year study is a significant study, and this should be getting major play, but of course it's not. Researchers report that the contribution of particulate matter to chronic health problems may be as much or 2 to 3 times greater than current estimates. 2 to 3 times greater than what they're currently saying. Michael Jarrett of the University of Southern California, Los Angeles, and his colleagues analyzed 2 decades of data collected from nearly 23,000 residents of 260 Los Angeles neighborhoods. Holy shit, that's a lot of people and a lot of time. This is a pretty comprehensive study. They found that the number of fine particulates less than 2.5 microns in diameter increased, so too did the risk of dying. Each jump of 10 micrograms per cubic meter responded to a 11 or 17% increase in the risk of dying from any cause. Wow. So what they're saying here is that I used to know what the exact size of a micron was. They always talk about it with HEPA filters and stuff like that. But there's all this particulates in the air. And if you check out how many micrograms of particulates are in the air, every 10 micrograms it goes up, the percentage chance risk of dying increases 11 to 17%. So if you're in an area that has, 20 micrograms of particulates in the air, quick math here, that gives you a 22% or 34% chance of dying, from something related to air quality. Because, air, really important. You have to breathe. Keep breathing. Don't die. Stop breathing. Die. That's how it works. By looking at the effects of pollution within communities, not only do we observe pollution's influence in overall mortality, but we saw specific links between particulate matter and death ischemic heart diseases, such as a heart attack, as well as lung cancer, which, of course, maybe it's all in the air that we're breathing. That's why cancer's everywhere. Yeah, smoking causes it because it gives your lungs what? Particulates. So how many particulates are you taking in every day? The team's findings are published in the November issue of the Journal of Epidemiology. In the same issue, a second group of researchers from the Keck School of Medicine of the University of Southern California reports that living close to a freeway raises a child's risk of developing asthma. Tracking the respiratory health of 208 children in 10 cities. This is a huge study. The scientists determined that those youngsters who live closer to highways were more likely to develop asthma. So again, it's best to move and live in the forests. Remarks led study author W. James Gordman of Keck, considering the enormous costs associated with childhood asthma, today's public policy towards regulating pollutants may merit some reevaluation. Which is a nice way of saying maybe we should clean up the fucking air because people are dying. Just a thought. Nothing, you know, to get alarmed about here. Now, in going with this, you'll hear often whenever there's something like modafinil, right? Modafinil has been around for a long time. This is this, you know, stay awake drug. It was tested in the Balklands. Everybody's been using it. And it's been hit the geek cultures. And we're like, you can stay awake all the time. And the fact that there's stories talking about it doesn't really matter what the stories are pro or against. They're like, it's dangerous, but you know, it's something that's out there. It's just press. But then you get a bit of a news report comes out showing different ways that you can increase your brain function using very, very natural means, and it doesn't get any press whatsoever. Now, according to a recent report in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition, folate, a B vitamin found in foods like leafy green vegetables and citrus fruits, okay, like lemons and stuff like that, may protect against cognitive decline in older adults. It would also help younger adults in maintaining cognitive sharpness. The research was conducted by scientists at the Gene Meyer USDA Human Nutrition Research Center on Aging at Tufts University. A team led by Catherine L. Tucker, PhD, Director of Professor of Nutritional Epidemiology Program at the Friedman School of Nutritional Science and Policy at Tufts, geez, there's a title, studied a group of Boston area men who were members of an ongoing normative aging study, NAS. Tucker and her colleagues found that men who obtained more folate in their diets showed significantly less decline in verbal fluency skills over the course of 3 years than men with lower dietary folate intake. Well, that means that that's probably my problem here. That's why I'm stumbling all of these news stories, is because I'm not eating enough leafy greens. High folate levels, both in diet and in the blood, also appear to be protective against declines in another category of cognitive skills known as spatial copying. To test this, the 50 to 85-year-old study participants were asked to copy various shapes and figures, and then their drawings were assessed for accuracy. The men took a series of cognitive tests at the beginning of the study period and then repeated those tests 3 years later. In an earlier study with the same NAS group, which corroborated the findings of other investigators, the Tufts research team observed that high homocysteine, known as a known blood maker of the cardiovascular disease risk, was associated with lower cognitive test scores. Jeez. So bottom line here is vitamin B is good for you. Now, we all know that vitamin B is good for us because anyone who's ever had to go and get vitamin B injections will see that all of a sudden they feel a lot better. The stress level's gone. You got to take your vitamin B complexes in order to load up on this. But if you can't get... Now, that's only if you're not watching your diet. Load up on the spinach, man. Spinach is good stuff. Leafy greens, baby. And generally, I find that, you know, some people, when they make sandwiches and stuff like that, this is just a stupid... Because all you need is just a way to get it into your body that doesn't suck, right? Well, I use spinach as filler in sandwiches. Instead of lettuce, I use spinach because it's crisp, it's fresh, it's good. You don't really notice it. Throw it in there raw, chew her up, good to go. Not a problem. And it's another method of getting more leafy greens into your diet. And you can put a lot of spinach, leafy spinach, on a sandwich and have it still taste pretty badass. Now, in Cyberpunk Kit, everybody knows about the Panasonic Toughbook. This is the one that all the law enforcement uses. This is the one that all the cops use, all the, you know, a lot of military guys are using. Well, it seems that Panasonic has finally come out with another Toughbook. Panasonic has expanded its line of Toughbook notebooks with the CF29 and the CF18. The display has a brightness of 500 CD, you can check it out there. I'm not going to go through all the specs. It's a totally hardened unit. Okay, it's got a rotating display. The thing spins around. 60 gig hard drive, 8 hours of battery life, and that's really nice. Comes with Windows XP, Wi-Fi. The CF29 measures 302 by 273 by 63.5 millimeters and weighs about 3.69 kilograms. A little heavy, but it's got its own handle. Now, apparently the new one, the really high-speed one, is going to be available in Japan on October 26th. So if anyone's over there, you know, wants to, you know, have one of those fall off a truck and make its way to the Rant Media Studios, address one for me and one for Sim, if you please. Actually, Sim doesn't like laptops, so that's okay. Maybe he'll use it anyway. He could use it for taking photos in the field. Yeah, so, you know, if you could throw one down our way, we'd really like that. We think that'd be a lot of fun. Now then, let's get into some Black Ice news. Card TRP, or Card Trip, a mobile phone virus affecting the Symbian Series 60 OS, is now capable of infecting Windows-based desktop computers. A new breed of virus spreads via Bluetooth and MMS. It can copy itself to a Windows computer through the phone's memory card if a memory card is present. Well, isn't that great? The Black Ice has finally found a way to get from phones to computers. Again, like most viruses of this nature, it requires user intervention. If the user has carelessly executed the application, the malware will begin to harvest the user's passwords before sending them to the virus perpetrator. This is reported as being the first mobile phone virus capable of infecting a PC, which signals the beginning of a new breed of virus mutations. Dun, 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 dun. The attack is really a proof of concept and may be an indication of a new type of blended threat to come, warned Raymond Jeans, president of Trend Micro's European operation. So it seems that the Black Ice never sleeps in this crazy world we live in, eh? Now, here's an interesting Waterworld news that I'm going to lend to meat processing. Now, you got to wonder whether or not this is a good thing or a bad thing, but I'll leave this for you to decide. This is quite the story here. After Hurricane Katrina hit New Orleans, federal officials blew them. Come here, Brian. Federal officials flew Brian Murph and more than 100 other victims to Rhode Island. They were greeted by the governor and cheered by residents, and then they were placed in handcuffs. State police did criminal background checks on every refugee and found that more than half had criminal arrest records, and a third for felonies. Murph was the only one with an outstanding arrest warrant for larceny and other crimes. So over half of these people had arrest records. They were criminals, apparently. Around the nation, state and local authorities are checking refugees' pasts as they are welcomed into homes, schools, houses of worship, and housing projects. In some states, half refugees have a rap sheet. It's a balancing act, apparently, because when you have a rap sheet, I guess you're no longer a human being, said Kyle Smith, deputy director for the Kansas Bureau of Investigation. We don't want to treat them like criminals after they've been traumatized. We want to make sure they are in no danger, nor the families they're housed with. Well, wait a second. If they're a danger, why are they free? Okay? This is just nuts. Like, if they're dangerous, they shouldn't be on the street. If they paid their debt to society, their debt to society is paid. What's this shit? Civil liberties call the checks thinly veiled race and class discrimination against people who have suffered already, which, you know, that is pretty fair assessment, I would say. The checks were made on those evacuated or forced to seek help from charities, or in other words, people who are often black and poor. I think it's happening partly because of who these people are and where they come from, says Steve Brown, executive director of the Rhode Island ACLU. The mere fact that these people have a past criminal records in of itself doesn't say anything about the harm to the community. Dun, 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 dun. Well, isn't that creative? You know, got nothing like doing meat processing while you're helping refugees. Now, in going along with the whole Waterworld news thing, it would seem that I've got some more gun control news for you. Now, the Second Amendment Foundation and the National Rifle Association joined with the individual gun owners in Louisiana Thursday morning to file a motion in the United States District Court for the Eastern District of Louisiana seeking a temporary restraining order to stop authorities in and around the city of New Orleans from seizing firearms from private citizens in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina. Very, very interesting stuff, because as we know, of course, the number one thing that everybody wants to do whenever there's a problem is get all the guns out of there. Now, arbitrary gun seizures without warrant or probable cause have been reported during the past 3 weeks since the Crescent City was devastated by the hurricane. In cases reported to the SAF, police refused to give citizens receipts for their seized firearms, which is according to law. They have to give them receipts. Earlier, SAF insisted that police account for all seized firearms, including their whereabouts, and explain how they will be returned to their rightful owners. Authorities have not responded, so just showing up and taking guns. Gun confiscations have been highly publicized since the New York Times quoted New Orleans Police Superintendent P. Edward Cumpus III, who said, "Only law enforcement are allowed to have weapons." And ABC News quoted Deputy Police Warren Riley as saying, "No one will be able to be armed. We are going to take all the weapons," is what they're all saying. Interesting. For example, a San Francisco CA camera crew from KTVU filmed one incident in which a visiting California Highway Patrol officers tackled an elderly woman identified as Patrina Crony to seize her pistol and forcibly remove it from her home. An ABC News crew accompanying him on Oklahoma National Guard, accompanying an Oklahoma National Guard unit, filmed another incident in which homeowners were handcuffed and disarmed, then released but without their firearms. "We are delighted to work jointly with the NRA in an effort to bring these outrageous gun seizures to a halt," said the SAF founder, Alan M. Gottlieb. "Our inquiries about these confiscations were cavalierly ignored, as were our demands for public explanation from the police and city officials about why citizens were being unlawfully disarmed, leaving them defenseless against lingering bands of looters and thugs." Now, on one hand, you can see why they'd want to disarm everybody because, well, you wouldn't want people running around with guns because, after all, people are just, you know, scum and they'll just kill each other and all the rest of it. But on the other hand, are we living in a free and democratic society where people have the right to arm themselves? Apparently, in the United States, the Second Amendment really isn't about duck hunting. So I think that, yeah, it's probably a very serious violation of the Constitution of the United States to be taking people's guns away. Whether or not it makes tactical sense is a totally another question, but it is most definitely a violation of the Constitution of the United States of America. Now, in Mud Hut news, gotta have one of these in there, it seems that she's a former lesbian. Now, I've never understood this, how people can just become lesbians or not be lesbians or now be an ex-lesbian or something like that. A former lesbian who became a Christian. So, a Christian is like a sexual denomination now. There's lesbians and Christians. Are among several residents calling on a local library to remove two provocative homosexual magazines from its shelves. So no more magazines. These magazines are evil, evil, evil. The Board of Trustees for the Upper Arlington Public Library recently voted unanimously to continue displaying and distributing other publications of Outlook Weekly and Gay People's Chronicle. Because, well, it's a library and fuck off with your Mud Hut bullshit. The decision was made despite the concerns of individuals who objected to the sexually explicit content of the two magazines. Very sexually explicit, I guess. One such individual is Lancaster resident Dab French, a former lesbian. I love that. Who believes that publications have been strategically placed in the library by "quote unquote" the enemy, the enemy, to seduce the young minds of children. Al Qaeda put those gay and lesbian magazines there. French is advocating for the protection of impressionable young people. Yes, protect the children, kill the gays. Our children are coming to the library, have fragile minds. Because only children with fragile minds go to the library, she says. She didn't actually say the thing about it. Yeah, she did. She's evil. They're in a critical state of being formed, and they're vulnerable, sexually confused, and wondering about many things in this period of their life. And this kind of explicit moral debauchery or filth, it's pornography. It has no place in our library or in the minds of our children. Good God. As a former lesbian who is now a follower of Jesus Christ, French feels it is her duty to warn that homosexuality is anything but a gay lifestyle. In fact, she contends it's a death lifestyle. At a recent public forum, Lancaster residents implored the Upper Arlington Public Library to remove the two offensive magazines from circulation, or at the very least, put them out of children's eyesight. However, the library's board refused both options. Well, clearly, the library is part of the massive terrorist gay agenda. Now, don't laugh, man. There's people out there who believe that shit. There's people out there who actually buy that all the gay people are all, like, trying to destroy all the breeders and shit like that. It's absolute insanity. Okay, you know, well, it could be worse. They could be asking to see, you know, takeout records for who's taking out these gay and these gay magazines, and then they can, you know, start interrogating these kids. Are you gay? No. Are you gay? No. Are you gay? Well, maybe. Ah, you're going to hell. You know, that's the kind of shit they could be doing. But as it is right now, they're just, you know, trying to burn books, which, you know, nothing new there. They've been doing it since, well, forever. Now, in virtual reality news from Engadget, the holodeck approaches. Now, this is the commentary from Engadget. Forget that punny, uncontrollable Revolution controller. For a truly immersive gaming experience, the Virtusphere is the only way to go. You got to see this thing. It's right out of Lawnmower Man. The 360-degree VR environment allows for complete movement in a virtual environment and can be paired with a head-mounted displays for the total alternate reality experience. Of course, at between $50,000 and $100,000 to buy, it's a perfect birthday present for me, and is a tad more expensive than the Revolution controller, which might explain why only a handful of these have been sold so far, and mostly to military and law enforcement groups who are using it for training and after-hour frag fests. Interesting that the Army and the law enforcement are getting involved with this whole, you know, virtual reality training simulation. Very, very interesting. I wonder how long it's going to be before they start feeding people drugs to implant the memories more in a more solid fashion. And then we'll get fast-forward training. You know, you'll be able to, like, completely immerse yourself for weeks at a time and fundamentally change yourself as a human being. Daily hacks today, I got three of them. You got your do-it-yourself hydrogen generator. And make sure you poke around on this guy's site, because it's actually pretty neat. This guy's kind of cool. I might try to get in touch with him, see if I can go out there and get some filming done with this guy, because he's local here. He's only, well, he's in BC. As well, please stop sending me the P90 do-it-yourself sentry gun. I've gotten this thing like, oh my God, I must have turned away about a billion emails about this thing. So thank you very much. I posted it. Please, no more. Thanks. Got it. Do-it-yourself sentry gun. Thank you so much. As well, Dual Parallel sent me a really cool link to a brand new news show that's come out called Anti-Meme. It's about jamming corporate and governmental propaganda with an approach from technology and hacking. It's about a 26-minute audio show that has a new episode on the 26th of each month. So there's only 12 episodes a year. But, you know, I checked out the shows. They're a little bit slower paced. They're a lot more information-heavy versus my show, which is largely, you know, I don't know, Sean-heavy, commentary-heavy. Bullshit heavy? I don't know. What would you say this show is? Who knows? I don't really know. But anyway, you want to check out this anti-meme show. Very, very cool. Make sure you download it and give it a listen, because information, of course, can only make you stronger. And that's all I have for you today. But don't worry, I will be back tomorrow to make sure you get all the information that you need to stay alive. I won't be. I'll be back on Monday with Sim to make sure you get all the information you need to stay alive. This would be a free radio broadcast brought to you by the generous donations of 66 people for the month of September. And if you would like to help keep this daily news broadcast on the air, please visit rantmedia.ca and please do and click on the donate tab, because every little bit helps. Thanks again for everyone, their assistance gathering data. If you have access to sensitive information or any other pertinent stories, please email them to newsreel. That's newsreel at rantradio.com. If you like the music in the background, be sure to pick up the album This Is Neo Goth, because I think I'm putting CD3 on this one, or CD2, but it's a 3-CD set. They're a great album. I'm going to leave you now with a track by Zeromancer called Clone Your Lover, which just totally kicks ass. So until tomorrow, that's what servers say. End of line.